Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of WrestleChat Radio's Raw Report. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing last night's Monday Night Raw at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Monday Night Raw, folks, this week was obviously the first Raw after WrestleMania Backlash, and certainly fans were eagerly anticipating how they were going to sort this all out and begin a new chapter in storytelling, and quite honestly, they didn't do it. Quite honestly, they just kind of stuck with the old stories as if Backlash had sort of just been a little bit of a speed bump on the way to the next pay-per-view. And by that, I mean most of the matches you saw at Backlash, you're going to see again. You're going to see them again. We start out with Randy Orton and Riddle hitting the ring. Randy Orton, clearly the most popular wrestler in the WWE right now. Clearly the most popular. It's been a while since we've heard fans spontaneously, without being coached to or having cheers pumped in, actually just break out into chants for a particular wrestler. Randy Orton's getting it every night. He's getting it every night. He goes on to explain that while they lost, they still want to unify the titles. Told you they were going to save that for a bigger and better pay-per-view. They want to unify the titles, and they're going to go ahead and make sure that happens. In the meantime, the Street Profits come out. They're not really heels, but they're tweeners, at least at this point, saying, well, you're not the ones who's going to unify it. We are, and we're not going to be skipped by. And they had a pretty good match, pretty solid match. Obviously, our K-Bro win. And I think the Street Profits now are going to have to either go full-fledged heel and rejuvenate themselves or something, because I think the shine has gone off the face part of that team, and no one really takes them seriously as a contending face team anymore. When you have faces like RK-Bro, and they're so immensely popular, it's very, very difficult for another team to get over as being a popular team, a really popular team, especially when you're going to have to go up against them. You're always going to be the one that the fans are booing. So I think maybe just a full-fledged heel turn would be the best thing for them, an official heel turn, let's put it that way. Good match, but once again, you know, no furthering of any story except for the fact that, of course, we're going to get that unification match, or at least they say we're going to get that unification match, Mike. They said it once before, and we got nothing.
Yeah, we'll see if they get that unification match, you know, and that's the deal. And look, the funniest line in the pre-match build-up of whatever was the whole thing about 420 says, "I just smoked her ass," you know,
yes.
kind of playing off that, you know, that's the thing, and you could see. You could see Randy Orton trying not to laugh, visibly trying not to laugh, you know. And, I mean, it's obvious. Every time you look at Randy Orton, he is having the time of his life with this thing. And you're right about the Street Profits turning heel. I think it's with them, it's time for them to turn heel. And I think with what's her name? We'll get to her later, but what's Bianca Belair? I think it's probably time she turned heel as well. I mean, she's going back to "I'm the best, fastest, I'm the strongest. I mean, that's not a face thing, all right? They're trying to make that a face thing, but it's not a face thing. So much like the Street Profits, I think it's time for her to go heel. But will they? I don't know, but it's time.
Yeah, you know, well, like you said, we'll get to Bianca Belair in a little bit, but the Street Profits absolutely need rejuvenating, and I think that probably would rejuvenate them to some extent, because right now they're just stuck in the, we're the second or third most popular team, you know, and that's not carrying them anywhere. Well, who can they feud with? Alpha Academy constantly? I mean, that's about it. We had a segment before that, obviously, where Kevin Owens was with Alpha Academy, and basically he said his older brother was going to show up and fight Ezekiel, who really is Elias. The Alpha Academy said they had proof that it was, in fact, Elias and not Ezekiel. I don't know. This is getting a little bit old. I guess the problem with this whole angle is basically that I don't know why Kevin Owens cares so much. That's kind of where we're stuck in, is there has to be a reason that Kevin Owens is going above and beyond to try to prove something that really is irrelevant. Okay, you think it's Elias, and what? Your whole career is now on halt until you can prove this to the world, for what reason? So I don't really like the angle that much. I don't know where it's going. It's providing some funny moments, but aside from that, I don't know what it's doing. Not much. Anyway, Todd, look, the opening match was a great match. Again, the Street Profits are a great tag team, but I do think maybe it's time they did the flip to heel and added a little juice to their career, because I think the face gimmick is kind of worn thin now.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said about the Street Profits and everything. But it looks like mostly lately, for the last month and a half, they've been getting booed out of the building by fans. And, you know, their face run is already stale. I think it's time then for them to turn heel, like down the road.
Yeah, pretty soon, actually, because I don't know where you go from here if you don't. I really don't. They're trying to walk that thin line. They're trying to be like, okay, well, we're going to be the heels when we go up against RK-Bro, and we're going to insult them and say things, but then we'll also fight Alpha Academy, and people will still root for us. You're going to have to pick a side, I think. I don't think this gray area is going to work that well for them. We'll see how long they do that for. We then get Edge's crew down to ringside, where she was on my mind because I thought for sure when I heard she was going to be on the show before Raw, thought for sure she was going to be the person they added to AJ Styles and Finn Balor's stable, but no such luck. Rhea Ripley literally gives, I don't know, some people are giving her credit for this promo. I think it was terrible. I don't even know what this – here's the problem with this group. Edge is very good at what he does. And Edge is very good at keeping it dark and saying dark things and acting as though this whole thing is a little bit of a Luciferian cult, where we're all into the dark side and everything, and then Rhea Ripley comes along and says, I'm sick of people asking for my autograph, and then I see it on eBay. Hey, that's what you say if you're going to be a heel, but you're going to just be a stuck-up heel who doesn't have any affiliation with some kind of a dark. Can you imagine if The Undertaker said that? Imagine in the early days of The Undertaker when he was saying, you will rest in peace. If he said, and I'm sick of people asking for my autograph at an airport, and then I find it on eBay. That does not work. Someone please explain to Rhea Ripley what her character is supposed to be again. I'm losing faith in Rhea Ripley. Before, I lost faith in the WWE because I said, I don't think they're giving Rhea Ripley a fair chance, and she doesn't know what her character is supposed to be. Now I'm beginning to think she doesn't know what her character is supposed to be regardless. Because quite obviously, this was her time to say, I've always had this darkness inside me, and I've tried my best to fight it. I tried my best to give the fans what they wanted, and I'm sick of it. It got me nowhere. So I've given myself completely over to this. I'm no longer that person. Instead, she's still talking about eBay and signing autographs, and I didn't like it. Down comes Liv Morgan. And they have a match in which basically Liv Morgan gets her ass kicked. So I don't know why Liv Morgan would join AJ and Finn at this point, because she's clearly shown that she cannot take Rhea Ripley. No one cheated. Edge didn't do anything. Damian Priest didn't do anything. They didn't distract her. They didn't do anything. If you wanted real heat for this group and you had a set of balls, you should have had them at least trip her or do something to her outside the ring when the referee was distracted by Rhea Ripley, where you said, I can't believe they laid hands on Liv Morgan. That's awful. And then have AJ Styles and Finn Balor come down. But instead, they wait till Rhea Ripley has submitted Liv Morgan, and then put it back on her. And then they come down to their entrance music, and then just stand there. First, Finn Balor. And he just stands there, because he's going to fight Damian Priest next. And then AJ Styles comes out and just stands there. To hell with Liv Morgan, right? She's being crucified, but who cares? Very poorly written. Very poorly written. A lot of people are saying, we like Rhea Ripley in this faction, well, I like the idea of Rhea Ripley in this faction because the look fits. But she's got to get a lot better on that microphone. She's got to learn that what the hell she's supposed to be, because this is not working. And whoever wrote the Finn Balor should just come down there and stand there and wait for AJ to come down and not even give one damn about Liv Morgan being in the ring with both of those guys and Rhea Ripley at the same time, which could have been a disaster for Liv Morgan, and they're not even running down to ringside to make sure, you know, the heels clear out. Nope, not doing that. I don't know what to say. If Liv Morgan was going to be a piece of this group, I understand you can't have Rhea Ripley lose. But if Liv Morgan was going to be a piece of AJ Styles' group, she can't lose either. Not unless it's clearly because she was double-teamed or triple-teamed. She can't just submit. But she did. So when she did, then I said, well, I know Alexa Bliss is backstage. I think Alexa Bliss is actually going to be the new member, not Liv Morgan. They just teased us Liv Morgan are going to give us Alexa. Well, I was wrong, as it turns out. But I just think this whole thing smelled a disaster, Mike, because it was handled so terrible.
Right, and you know, I knew it wasn't going to be Liv Morgan, because why would they have Liv Morgan? If she was going to be a part of that group, why would they have Liv Morgan be basically squashed? Right?
That's right. What
happened. She was squashed. And we've said it before about Liv Morgan, and they kind of resuscitated her, but I'll say it again. I think whatever career she had in the WWE, it's done. You know, they might as well go
to the side. They're going to try to force it. Like, they're going to say, oh, she's going to be a member of AJ Styles' little group. Well, fine. But you've given us nothing. You've given us no reason to believe she could handle Rhea Ripley. She submitted. She lost clean in just a few minutes. That should never have been the case if that's what it's going to be. Because why would you do that? Why would AJ Styles say, well, you did so well against Rhea Ripley, I think I need you on our side against her because we can't hit her and you can. Okay, well, unfortunately, you got beat up. You got squashed. Wouldn't you want a woman who could handle it? Of course you would. So that doesn't make any sense. Anyway, Finn Balor has his match, doesn't last too long before the whole thing turns into a jump on session, you'll notice Finn Balor didn't get submitted, right? See what I mean? You notice Finn Balor didn't give up clean, and then everybody jumps in. No. Finn Balor doesn't lose this match. Why? Well, because you don't want him to look weak in his feud against the Judgment Day. Oh. But you do want Liv Morgan to look weak in her feud against Judgment Day. Makes no sense. Then AJ Styles jumps in. I thought it was a nice moment when he turned around, was going to hit Rhea Ripley, and didn't. Because it clearly, this is why I wanted Judgment Day to lay their hands on Liv Morgan. Because then you would have clearly seen the difference between the people. Edge and Damian Priest, no problem putting their hands on a rather diminutive Liv Morgan. AJ Styles refuses to hit Rhea Ripley, even though she's actually bigger than him. And she is obviously the antagonist. That would have clearly defined the roles of the two teams and what their beliefs are and what their moral systems are. But you didn't do it. Anyway, AJ Styles doesn't hit her. That leads to them getting beat down. This is when I thought Alexa Bliss was going to show up, but she didn't. And once again, Judgment Day just stands strong. And I'm going to tell you right now, you better watch this, because it's fine to have Judgment Day keep standing strong, but at some point, you're going to have to let AJ's team get at least a one-up on them. You don't have to let them pin them, but you got to let them at least chase them from the ring once. They just come down and get beat up every week. So why are we thinking in one-on-one matches this is going to be so wonderful when they're not holding their own at all? This week, what should have happened, they should have laid their hands on Liv Morgan. When Liv Morgan submitted, then it would have been like, well, it was really their fault. They ran her into the ring post or something, like the scumbags they are. And then Rhea Ripley put her in that submission hold. And then when she re-put her in the submission hold, Finn Balor and AJ Styles should have ran down totally without music, cleared that ring for a minute. Then Rhea Ripley should have maybe hit him from behind if that's what you wanted. Do that. If you wanted to have Finn Balor against Damian Priest first, then do that. Clear the ring, except he's got to fight Damian Priest, so Damian Priest got to get back in, but they let Liv Morgan get out safely. Then Damian Priest fights Finn Balor. You could still do that. It just wasn't handled all that well, Todd, so it didn't come off as all that effective.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, that was not handled good. We could have done a better job handling that angle right there 100 times better.
Yeah, it just wasn't something that, I don't know. It just didn't strike me as doing anything for Judgment Day, really, other than just having Rhea Ripley win a match and say what she had to say on the mic, which wasn't much. It makes them look strong, I guess, but at the same time, you want them to look strong, but you also want the opposition that's eventually go up against them to look strong. And they're looking progressively weaker. Now, I know what the WWE is going to say. Well, we wanted this as a clear message. They have to add a woman if they're going to neutralize Rhea Ripley. Okay. But it can't be Liv Morgan because she can't handle Rhea Ripley, as was proven by the match that you let them put on. So it's got to be somebody else. And it's not going to be somebody else. It's going to be Liv Morgan. Anyway, we get a backstage segment with, like I said, with Kevin Owens. He's going to be his brother. Kevin Owens did a good job of this. I'll give Kevin Owens credit. He put the wig on, and it was pretty funny. And but my favorite moment in this, and this angle is not my favorite angle, believe me, but Elias is making it work a little bit, and so is Kevin Owens because they're so talented. Kevin Owens is righteously angry, saying, I'm Ken Owens, I'm his older brother. And instead of Ezekiel saying, oh, well, you look just like Kevin Owens, and I'm not buying it, he says, oh, how you doing, Ken? And he says, I'm not Ken, and you're not Ezekiel. I'm Kevin Owens. And he tears off the wig, and Elias looks genuinely shocked. He says, oh, it's Kevin Owens. That was very funny. That was a very funny part of this episode. The look of shock on his face, like he really did think it was somebody else, was pretty funny. The ensuing little beatdown, I mean, it's okay. I'm not invested in this feud, really, Mike, but it's good for a few laughs. And because you have talented people like Kevin Owens, Elias, obviously Alpha Academy in it, it's working only because those guys are so good at what they do.
Yeah, and look, the straight man, basically the straight man in that whole situation is Otis. If you think about it, I mean, you got Chad Gable with Shush and Nobu Education. You got Elias pretending to be his younger brother, and you got Kevin Owens coming out in a wig, you know, and pretending to be his older brother, you know, or something like that.
Yep.
So, and that, most of that is comedy until you look at Otis. You know, Otis is doing a good job.
He's doing a great job, but, you know, the shame of that is, out of the four, he's probably the funniest one if you give him the funny lines. So it's kind of weird that they're using him as a straight man, but you're right. I think that they're leading that up to is that we're going to eventually get like a Ezekiel versus Otis type thing. I think it's obviously Kevin Owens first, but I think after that, we might see Otis on his own or something. Try his luck. Because he's the one that looks the most intimidating. Like he's the one that's not falling for none of the bullshit. He just wants to crush somebody. Still was funny, though, Todd, to watch, you know, Ezekiel's eyes pop out when Kevin Owens takes the wig off, and he's just like, oh, it's Kevin Owens. That was actually really good.
I'm absolutely right there, like you said, about the when Kevin Owens came out to the ring last night. I looked at the wig, like, whoever made that wig didn't do a good job. It didn't look like they're having, like, a bad hair day.
Yeah, but that's the whole point. The whole point was any idiot would know it's Kevin Owens. And immediately Ezekiel's just like, okay, hi, Ken. He's not even questioning it. And then when the horrible wig is torn off, he seems like he's shocked. Oh, my God, it's Kevin Owens. That was pretty funny. Anyway, Sonya Deville backstage gets some news that she's going to fight somebody. She's been stripped of all of her powers as a authority figure. They're not going to tell her who she's going to fight. I knew then, of course, it's going to be Alexa Bliss. I just wanted to see how she came out. She came out basically in her goddess, with her goddess music and her goddess look, but she does have Lily. She does have Lily. There's two reasons for this. Both of them are good. One is the WWE as a business knows they're selling a whole bunch of them Lily dolls. They don't want to stop. As long as those dolls are selling, she's going to carry that doll if she changes gimmick 4,000 times. Second reason is, it's an out. If people don't like the old Alexa Bliss, they still got that Lily doll as a connection to send her right back where she was. You also have the option of having her have the dual personality. So I'll keep a close eye on this. I still say this was the woman who should have been in with AJ Styles and Finn Balor. Can you imagine the fun you could have had with that? Because AJ, of course, would have been the straight man. He would have been the guy that's like, well, I'm just a wrestler, just a normal wrestler. But, of course, Finn does the demon thing. She does the whole witchcraft thing. And here I am just sitting here going, oh, okay, well, I do a Styles Clash. I think it would be cool. But I don't think it's the direction they're going in. It was a very short match with Sonya Deville. And I mean very short. I don't think this thing lasted a full minute. And I guess Sonya Deville's just back on the roster as a superstar, Mike. It wasn't the greatest return for Alexa Bliss, but she did get a very nice ovation from the crowd, which is a good sign.
Well, it also sets something up because she had the doll, right? And through most of the match, she had the doll basically near her and in the corner, right? As that doll's in the corner, we're gonna get what we got, and we got her running through her in her goddess outfit. You know where this is going, right? Somebody's gonna eventually take the doll, and Alexa Bliss is gonna snap.
Right. Yeah, and that's what we'd speculated. How long ago, Mike, did we say this on air? We said, I don't know why you don't have anything for Alexa Bliss. It's very obvious. You send her back cured, but with the doll. And as long as she has the doll, she's okay. But if somebody fucks around with a doll or does something to the doll, she snaps and goes back to that character. How easy is that to write? So when the writers were running around saying, we don't have anything for her, I'm like, Jesus, how obvious can it be? You find a blind squirrel finally found a nut. And they figured it out. Good for them. I'm glad they figured it out. This is probably going to be one of the more interesting things on Raw going forward. I don't know where they're going to go with the Sony DeVille is no longer a person of authority. I don't even know if Adam Pearce is. One minute he says, I can make matches. The next minute he says, I have to go over my head to make this match. I don't know. I don't know even know what Adam Pearce is supposed to be. No idea. We have a backstage segment where R-Truth serves Reggie with divorce papers. Tries to serve Tozawa, runs away. I'm telling you, if it wasn't for Tozawa, there are times when Tozawa actually makes me continue to watch because I'm like, I'm so done. I'm very angry with what they just did, or I'm pissed off that they blew this angle. And then, you know, Tozawa will do something funny, and I'll laugh about it and say, oh, well, keep watching and see what goes on. Tozawa running down the hallway screaming, I don't want a divorce. That's a good one. That's one that's going to go on the WWE highlight reels of their funny stuff for a while, Mike. Once again, Tozawa steals the show here.
Tozawa steals the show. And look, that's the best way to keep this thing going is that, yeah, she may want a divorce in storyline, of course, but Tozawa doesn't. And you could, by him doing what he did, he's giving them branches on that tree, Tozawa. And that's how talented he is. That's how talented he is. He's now giving the writers branches on the tree.
Well, Mike, you know what they're going to do now? They're going to have different ways to try to serve them. You know what I mean? Almost like different ways to try to get the 24/7 belt where you disguise yourself as this or you hide here. They're going to do that for a while, I bet you. They're going to say, well, you got to serve Tozawa with these papers, and R-Truth is going to be dressed up in different things, hiding in trash cans, doing whatever he got to do to try to serve Tozawa with those papers, and Tozawa's going to keep running away saying, no, 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 I don't want a divorce. I see that coming.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, right, and that's the thing. I mean, they could take it in a totally different direction and say, and I mean, we don't know if they could say, oh well, yeah, she's got divorce papers, but do we really know that Tamina wants a divorce? You know?
Right. I think what's going to happen here, Mike, if I'm reading the plot right. Remember that R-Truth said he had to come up with a plan to get that 24/7 belt back. That's all he cared about. And he kind of pushed this whole thing, including a wedding that went horribly wrong. I think this is supposed to be part of his weird plan to separate the couple, separate whatever, and then get his belt back somehow. I think he's going to end up on the short end of the stick with this. I think what's going to happen is you might see the couples somehow reunite at some point when they figure out that R-Truth was behind all this crap. I think that's where it's going. It has nothing really much to do with wrestling, but it is fun. So at least there's that. At least it's fun to watch. Todd Tozawa screaming down the hallway, I don't want a divorce, as he's disappearing from camera shot. It was very, very funny.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, when Akil Tozawa's like, I don't want a divorce. He takes the roses and throws them on the fucking the floor. He just throws it off like, I don't want to look at that paper.
He's great. He's the most underrated person for cutting these type of little vignettes and promos or whatever. He may be the most underrated person in the entire WWE doing that because he is excellent. I don't know whether this guy took acting classes or he's just naturally good, but his body language, his facial expression, he does everything exactly correctly. He is very, very good at this. He might be too good at it for his own good, because when you're this good at it, then I know you're going to get a guy like Vince McMahon saying, well, we're using him to his strength. This is the best thing he can do, and to hell with his wrestling. you know, that might be the case. Vince might say, well, he doesn't need to be a wrestler. He's fun, and he's adding a lot to the show this way. So if Tozawa wants to be a wrestler, he actually may be too good at this for his own good. But it is entertaining to watch, I'll tell you that. Next up, we have Veer Mahan, and once again, we have an announcer in the ring saying, why would you ever want to fight this man? And I swear to God, this guy, who's bigger, as big as Veer Mahan, says, I know I'm probably going to get killed, but I have a wife and triplets, and I have to provide for them, and so I have to do what I have to do. This is terrible. The WWE writers does not understand. They don't get how to get heat. This is not getting heat for Veer Mahan. You can say the same thing, but you got to do it in a different way. I can't emphasize this enough. You can't just have a pity party. Everybody's got to support people. Everybody's got to have money. That's why all the wrestlers are in the business. So you don't say, I'm probably going to get killed. You just have the guy come in, and if you want to interview him, you say, backstage, you don't do this in the ring. You want to play it on the Titantron for the audience, do it. But just have him say, look, am I a little bit nervous about getting in the ring with Veer Mahan? Of course I am. But I'm a professional wrestler, and I have mouths to feed. I have a wife. I have children. And this is my big shot. This is my big shot to prove that I belong here with people like Veer Mahan. And I have to take it. Then people say, well, I believe that. And then if he gets massacred, maybe, you know, there is some sympathy for him. But when they're already sniveling, saying, I know I'm going to lose, but forget it. Then there's no more sympathy. You're not going to the gas chamber. This is your job. I don't think the Veer Mahan thing's working very well. I just don't. And we'll see. I mean, we'll see when he fights better competition. But, you know, you've done it ass backwards again. You had him fight Dominic first, who we haven't seen in forever, and Ray. I don't know what happened to them. There was some word about COVID, but I don't know if it's the truth or not. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go from here. But I do know that if you keep doing this, fans are not going to buy into it. They're not buying into it now. Did you or anybody have any sympathy or boo Veer Mahan out of the building? No. You really want there to be an impact there. I'll tell you the truth. Again, the WWE offers such a watered-down version of what they should do. If you want to do something like that, don't only do it once. Don't do it every week. Don't have another guy in the ring next week saying, my sick mother and I'm trying to get money for her operation. I don't want to hear it. It's dumb, and nobody believes it. You do it once. You do it with a local guy, and you have the guy say, I'm so proud to be able to be in a part of the WWE tonight, and I got my wife and my kids here, and they're so proud of me, and I can't wait to get in the ring. And, you know, then you find out you're fighting Veer Mahan. And then if that happens and he's carried out on a stretcher in front of his wife and kids, yeah, then Veer Mahan's going to get some heat from the crowd. Because people are going to say, well, was that really necessary? He already won the friggin' match. And then he puts him back in the thing. People have to separate him. He's carried on a stretcher in front of his wife and kids. His kids are hysterical. His wife is crying. That's bull. That's the way you get heat. You do it every week, Mike, with a pity party, and it does not work.
Right. Just think of it this way. When James Ellsworth first showed up, what happened? He had
right.
a match, but before he did that match, I believe he did an interview. He did a promo, right? Before
mm-hmm.
he did that match, and then he got destroyed, right? Well,
yep.
they didn't do it every week. They did it that one time. And because of that interview and because of that match, he caught on. I mean, who knows? He could have done the same thing with this one of these guys that he's destroyed or one of these guys, this last guy. I mean, this last guy looked like he could have a future in wrestling. He looked like it. You know, he's a big guy. I mean, he's the type of guy, this last guy that he fought, he looks like he'd be the type of guy that Vince would like, a bigger guy, you know, this, that, and the other. I mean, if they've handled it right, he could have had something with this guy. And I still say this, They should never have taken Veer Mahan away from Sankey and Jinder.
I tend to agree with you. Can you imagine having two guys who were so dominant if you wanted to make Sankey dominant? He's 7 foot tall. Veer Mahan was small compared to him. If you made Veer Mahan this deadly and then Sankey that deadly and you had Jinder controlling them, you had a hell of a faction. And you just said no. You just said, who cares? Anyway, Cody Rhodes gets a shot at the U.S. belt against Theory. I know a lot of people were excited for this, saying, I think Cody's going to win the belt. I think Cody's going to get his U.S. championship. I said, there's no way. I already know what's going to happen. Seth Rollins is going to interfere. He's going to go through the character change, but it's going to be slow, and they're going to get one more match out of this somewhere along the line, maybe Hell in a Cell. And sure enough, Seth Rollins interferes. The difference is, you notice Seth Rollins wasn't laughing. I think they've dropped that whole Joker sort of a gimmick, and now it's a much more serious Seth Rollins. I think this is the first transition into probably a late summer, early fall face turn for him. Yeah, it was a ripoff. Absolutely. This is a lot of the WWE's matches on Monday Night Raw are a ripoff. Two of the major matches were just qualifications, right? Feature match was, this match was. And I could argue that this was one of the biggest matches of the night for a championship. And we got a disqualification finish here. We got a disqualification finish in the women's match later on. So, yeah, not the greatest. One thing it does show, though, Austin Theory is the real deal, man. He can hang with people like Cody Rhodes and stuff and look good. You got a blue chipper. I really think so. And it's very rare I say that. Very rare I say, I think you've really found a guy who actually can do several different things well. He's good in an interview. He can talk a good fight and sell a fight. But then when he actually has the match, he can make the match really good too. That's few and far between. And there's something else that's very crucially important about him. And that is this. As much as he is a heel, and he clearly shows, I'm a heel, I'm the bad guy, I'm the guy you want to boo, there's a tiny little bit behind his character that makes you say, he's probably not that bad of a guy. He's just really ambitious and wants so badly to be a star. And that's an easy guy to flip when the time comes. In other words, he's not so hated you say, I wouldn't root for him for any reason. No, you will eventually. Because there's a lot more story to tell behind this Theory thing. That's why they've aligned him with McMahon. You know, you can always say, well, Vince McMahon poisoned this kid's mind and he made him think you have to do these things or you're not going to be successful. And at some point in time, Theory is going to say, to hell with you. And that's the time he's going to turn. They've got this well planned, and I think they got a blue chipper on their hands here, Mike. It was a rip-off match, though.
And really, I think there's going to be a time when the fans, no matter what Theory does, the fans aren't going to boo him. There's going to come that time when the fans just refuse to boo Theory, you know. And that's going to be the time when Vince McMahon's going to take a look at this thing and say, okay, it's time to flip him, you know, because, I mean, he's a guy that you can put on Good Morning America and you know, and Morning with Regis and whatever, and all this stuff like that. He can go and do those because he presents well, you know, fresh, clean-cut guy, you know, he presents well, and this guy, he's come a long way since he was in AAA with Angel and Andrade.
Yes. And they've been very careful with him. I'll give the WWE credit. I know people say, well, they had him lose to Pat McAfee, but that's all part of it. The whole idea behind this character, as far as I'm reading it, and maybe I'm giving the WWE too much credit, but when I look at Theory, the character I see is, I see a guy who came in with a little bit of a chip on his shoulder and wasn't doing so well. Vince McMahon took him under his wing and keeps saying to him, You lost because you didn't do this. You lost because you didn't do that. You didn't listen to me. You didn't do that. And Theory is literally saying, I'll do whatever Vince McMahon wants because this is my big, 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 big chance. And he's right. I got the belt when I did what Vince McMahon wanted. And I must be this good. I must be great. Vince McMahon must be right. But eventually he's going to see the error of Vince McMahon, or he's going to see the wrath of Vince McMahon. And behind that character, he's never done anything too terribly evil. Behind that character, he can show signs of vulnerability. He can show signs of, I'm not really that bad of a guy. And I'm telling you, they're doing that on purpose, I believe, because eventually they want you to root for him. And they've got a blue chipper here. I think more than anybody who's come along in the last several years, this guy could be someone who years from now you will say, yeah, that he's a top guy. He's one of the top guys. So we'll see. I think they put on a great match. Yeah, credit to Cody Rhodes, too. He gave Theory plenty of offense, Todd, and made him look good.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. Like you said about that match with Cody Rhodes and Theory last night, Seth Rollins is going to come out and interfere and cost Cody the match, won by disqualification.
Oh, absolutely, and we all knew this was coming. So we got one more match out of them, probably at Hell in a Cell. We have the Women's Tag Team Championship match, and of course you knew they're going to be fighting Shayna Baszler and Natty, so how in the world is Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H. going to win? They're not, but I was so shocked because Nikki A.S.H. was basically said last week, I'm dropping this character, I'm getting back to being serious, and she came right out with the same stuff. And they did the same angle where she loses and Doudrop says, are you going to be serious? And she says, yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know. How many times you got to tell somebody? So I don't know where this is leading. I don't know whether they're going to continue to be a tag team or they're going to fight or Nikki's going to go back to her crazy gimmick. I don't know where it's going. But I know that last night wasn't necessary. Or if last night was necessary, you shouldn't have done the backstage segment last week, because when someone says to you a week ago, are you ready to drop this nonsense and get serious? And you say yes, and then you just go right back to it. Why did you even walk out with her then? Why didn't you say that backstage? I thought you were dropping all this nonsense. What's with the superhero crap all and stuff? Didn't I talk to you last week, and didn't you say you're done with this? No, she didn't do any of that. And then looks surprised that she didn't drop the nonsense. Doesn't work, Mike. I didn't like it, and I don't think it furthers any of their characters or furthers the match, the tag team women's match.
And really, if she had dropped that character, all right, if she dropped the character and went back to that other gimmick, then you would have had another branch on a tree of possibly putting either her with either AJ or with Edge, because, I mean, that crazy gimmick fits. I mean, can you imagine that crazy gimmick versus what's her name and her having to deal, even though she's got the power advantage on Nikki A.S.H., and basically Nikki A.S.H. and what's her name and her have a history together. They were tag team partners, right?
Yep, they sure were. Yeah, listen, or you could have just put her in the stable instead of Rhea Ripley and put her back to that crazy girl gimmick. There's a lot you could have done. I don't know what they're doing with her. We'll see. Anyway, we get that weird situation with The Miz coming down with a referee shirt on. I don't know who made that decision. Ali against Tommaso Ciampa. I was hoping for better for Ciampa when he officially became a part of the main roster. He seems now to just be like the leftover guy in a different storyline. The storyline is obviously going to be something to do with The Miz and Ali. And Ciampa's just a speed bump. And that's a shame, because the story should have nothing to do with The Miz. It should be about Ciampa. But it's not about Ciampa, and it's very clearly not about Ciampa at this point. So, I mean, you know, the fans are sitting on their hands because Ciampa has to oversell Ali instead of coming in and being very big force where people can say, "Wow, look at this guy. He's he's great. Who's gonna beat him?" No, he has to practically get beat by and then the announcers literally have to say, "Well, if the referee was in position, that would have been a five count." In other words, Ciampa would have lost. So now what you're saying is Ciampa's no good because he should have lost to a guy who has lost to everybody in this federation 75 times. But he's a great, great wrestler. Well, no, obviously, if that's what you're telling me, he's not a great wrestler. If that's what you're telling me he's a lousy wrestler who almost lost to a guy who basically is a jabron and should have lost to a guy who's a jabron, except that The Miz cheated. That's a very bad storyline. That's a very bad storyline. I know you want to set up The Miz and Ali, fine, but do you have to do it at Ciampa's expense? Did you have to book a match where it's clearly Ciampa lost, but The Miz cheated? So what is our impression of Ciampa coming out of this match? He should have lost to Ali, and Ali has lost to how many people? So how good is Ciampa? Don't like that, Mike. I think it doesn't bode well for Ciampa.
I don't think it does either. And the fact of the matter is, there is a reason why Ciampa, for a long time, refused to come up to the main roster.
Yep. Absolutely right. And now we know what it is, and he probably was wise to have stayed where he was because he's now the second banana in what's going to be a feud between The Miz and Ali, Todd, and that's not what I'm sure he wanted.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said. This is like they just throw him in the shuffle without giving him anything, technically.
Yeah, well, that's a good way to put it. He's lost in the shuffle because he's just a guy who's, like I said, he's playing a little small part in a greater feud that has nothing to do with him. Nothing. You'll notice they're not doing that with a guy like, Veer Mahan. He's destroying people. He's not playing second banana in something where the referee has to cheat or he would have lost. So what would have been better is if his opponent was like a nobody. That would have been more humiliating. I found some guy who wants to be a wrestler and, use another local talent and have Ali lose to that local talent because it clearly beat him six times, but The Miz won't count. And then he loses to him because The Miz quick counts him, and that's embarrassing. And then Ciampa comes and beats up Ali again if that's what you want. But don't have Ciampa look like he almost lost or should have lost. That's a huge mistake. And, of course, then we get Bianca Belair versus Asuka in a contenders-type match. Asuka, someone's got to put a word in Asuka's ear. I love Asuka. But somebody's got to put a word in her ear. And the word is calm down a little bit, or if you're going to act like that, do it more as a face. Because I'm starting to feel sorry for Becky Lynch. She's not exactly attacking Asuka. She's not exactly fighting back. She's saying, I gave you that belt, and Asuka's going, "Oh, God," and screaming at the top of her lungs like a lunatic. It was funny that she said you went home to be a mother and have a baby, and you don't act like a mother, you act like a baby. That was funny, and it's a good line. Whoever wrote the line, that's a very good line, but Asuka's delivering it like a heel. And Asuka should be the person who remembers, yes, you did give me that belt. Yes, you did say all those wonderful things about me. But that's not you anymore. That's the way it should have been. Asuka should have come into this back into this federation saying, "I don't know who you are. You're not the person who gave me that belt. You changed." Because now it just looks like she's an ungrateful bitch who's making fun of Becky Lynch, and it's not working. It's just not working. I know there's some communication problem or whatever, but you got to get through to Asuka that she's got to be more, what's the right word for it, likable, because you can't just get in Becky Lynch's face and go, "Bah, bah, 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 bah." That doesn't work. It makes you look like the heel. especially if Becky's not fighting back. Anyway, Asuka against Bianca Belair. I said, well, yeah, sign me up. I'll watch that. They didn't give them that much time. It was a good match up until, of course, Becky Lynch interferes, drags out Bianca Belair, and here we go again. And I'm sure we're looking at a three-way dance at probably Hell in a Cell. I guess it's okay. I mean, it's going to be a good match. But again, I just think it's the story you're telling that I have a problem with, not the matchup itself. The matchup itself is fine. Most of the time in the WWE, the matchups themselves are fine. It's the story you tell to get to those matchups that's not fine, that doesn't capture anybody's imagination, that doesn't want you to root for one person over another. Most of the time, that's the problem with the WWE, Mike, and here we go again. I mean, I still think that more people, just as many people are going to root for Becky Lynch as they will for Asuka or Bianca Belair, because they didn't have Asuka do what she should have done and been grateful to Becky Lynch at first and then realize you changed. This is not the person you should be. And I'm going to prove that to you. Just screaming in her face doesn't do that, Mike.
Absolutely. And look, there could be, this is a bad way to get at this, but there could be, when we talked earlier about, Seth Rollins flipping, this could be a way to flip Becky Lynch. Now, granted, it would have to be, with the fact that it could be a way to flip both Becky Lynch and, Bianca Belair. But somebody else besides Bianca Belair would have to win that three-way match at some point, because...
Tell me if this is crazy. Here's how I would have booked Asuka's return. Instead of coming out and screaming at Becky Lynch, I would have had Becky Lynch defending her belt and have Asuka come out when, let's say, somebody took a shortcut, even though Becky Lynch took seven. Asuka come out and actually help Becky Lynch win and say, I owe you that. You graciously handed me the title, and I'm graciously telling you I will make sure that you keep the title because you deserve it. Then when Asuka figures out Becky Lynch does not deserve it, it's not the same person, then you have Becky Lynch go into the ring and say, who's going to stop me? I've beaten this one, I've beaten that one, I've beaten this one, I've beaten that one. I'm the greatest women's wrestler in the world. Have Becky Lynch do something horrible the week before. That's clearly a heel thing. Then when Asuka comes out and says, I'll stop you, then we understand that now Asuka knows this isn't the same Becky Lynch. I got fooled. I helped somebody keep a belt that's not worthy of holding the belt anymore. That's how you build this feud, Mike.
That is how you build this feud, and that's the thing. You could even at some point have thrown the fact that Becky Lynch did something to Lily. Now, granted, we know what that would have led to Alexa Bliss going nuts on Becky Lynch, but until that happens, Becky Lynch does something with Lily, and here comes Oscar saying, I wouldn't have done that, because of what happens. And
I would rather have it be Bianca Belair. Have her help Becky Lynch against Bianca Belair a few times, and then have Becky Lynch do something really horrendous to Bianca Belair that was totally uncalled for. Obviously a heel thing, that Bianca's hurt or Bianca's – something that could have ended her career, where Asuka's eyes are clearly open. And even though Bianca Belair has been sort of her enemy for a month and she's been helping Becky Lynch, she realizes at that moment that wasn't right. Who is this person? Then you come out and say that. You come out and say, that was wrong, and I'm going to stop you. Then it's like, oh, well, this is the woman who was helping me all this time, and now I have to face the very person I handed that belt to, and I know she's as good as, if not better. That's the impact. That's the impact line. Bad writing. She just comes out instantly and says, I'll stop you, which makes her look ungrateful that she was given the belt to begin with. This way, Asuka looks grateful. She looks like, well, it, naturally I'm going to help the person who handed me the belt. And I was so excited for that she was going home to be a mother. I'm overlooking. You could even have people say, yeah, but Asuka, do you not see her did this and that? No, no, she's a wonderful person. Then when she finally opens her eyes and says that, game on, right? That's what makes that line a great line when it happens. I do want to mention one more, well, two more things. One thing is that the Roman Reigns thing, he some people are saying he may be away for a little while. There's talk he might be making a movie, and he probably will still show up on pay-per-view and TV, but maybe for a month or two, not as much as normal. So we'll see what happens there. Second thing is, even though this 24/7 belt I'm totally against, I never liked it, still don't like it, I wanted to mention one more thing, and that is this week we heard Tamina talk more than I've heard Tamina talk in a long, long time, and she's opening up a little bit. She gets what her character is supposed to be finally, and working with all these other people, I think she's starting to develop a little bit of a personality. And she was actually pretty funny when she said, you're supposed to hand him the papers. Why didn't you hand him the papers? And then he's running down the hallway. There's a little more Tamina coming out. I think that they helped drag her out of her shell a little bit, Mike, and maybe that's a good thing for the future.
Again, we can put this all, I mean, majority of this, yes, good writing, but we can put the majority of this on Tozawa.
Yeah, I think so. I really do. Anyway, let's go for the ratings here this week. Look, again, there were some good matches. Street Profits versus RK-Bro was great. Cody and Theory was very, very good. Asuka and Bianca was good for while it lasted, but too many disqualifications, too many storylines that's just stalled or that I'm not interested in. I can't give this better than a C. I just think it was average and in every single way except maybe for some of the performances. Mike, what's your rating?
You know, I'm going to give it a little bit, just a tad bit better and say C plus. You know, so that whole thing, we basically know where the whole thing with R-Truth is going. They're kind of playing the long game with this, which they don't really do all that often, and I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, me too. That part I am enjoying. They are playing a long game with that. They're playing a long game with Theory too. Which is good. I just think there's too much hokum in there. Oh, I did want to mention that I guess it's official that Lacey Evans is in fact going to Raw, Mike, and she is in fact going to be a heel.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
No, I can't. Well, I guess I can because they basically messed this whole thing up with her from the beginning. Look, we said it before. There were two women that could have been a female John Cena. One was Bayley, and I'm saying it right now. The other one was Lacey Evans because she has that history, and she's an ex-Marine. She's military. People wanted you to ex-military people. You know that type of stuff. You know. They could have had.
Yeah, they messed you up, Mark. Now, I'm not against the next military person being a heel. I mean, Sergeant Slaughter was a heel for I don't know how long playing a military character. So, I mean, that's okay. But, my God, do you put her doing all these things about her life and she's going to be a heel? You want to talk about shit in the bed. Todd, what's your rating this week?
I got to go with you on this one. I got to give it a C as well. You know, like you said.
Yeah, it wasn't a fantastic episode. If it wasn't for good wrestling, some decent wrestling, it would have been probably a D minus. We'll see you on Friday.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Wrestle Chat Radio is a Savage Play